Lord, we thank you today. Thank you for purpose, Lord. Thank you for the invitation to be a part of purpose. Thank you, Lord, for just the sense of knowing that you are near, Lord. We thank you this morning. And Lord, we pray, God, that you will speak to us today, Lord. Give us an ear to hear the voice of the Lord. Lord, help us to be sensitive to what you're saying today, Lord. We need you, Lord. We want what the Holy Spirit is directing from heaven to come alive in our hearts this morning, today. So, Lord, help us today, God. Speak to us. Give us strength to obey, strength to follow, strength to just with obedience say yes to you, Lord. And Father, we love you today. Lord, I thank you this morning that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. It is able to cut right where we need it today, Lord. So, Lord, do that for all of us this morning. Give us an ear to hear the Spirit, Lord, that we might follow you, Lord. Let us live by faith today. Let the word of God bring faith today, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, I thank you this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, choir. What a great song to lead us into what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to kind of do a follow-up to what we talked about last week. We talked about the verse in Philippians. We said we were apprehended to apprehend in seeking the Lord and discerning for what have I been apprehended. And I want to kind of explore this out a little bit more for whatever the Lord wants to speak to us today. And perhaps there's some that are wrestling with a sense of call and you're not sure what to do with that. And I hope today will be an encouragement to you in that sense. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. The goal of reading scripture is to not gain more knowledge, it's to gain more faith. And that's what I hope today would happen for you, is that as you hear the word of God in these scriptures we're going to look at, that there would be faith that would increase inside of you to trust God, to believe him for what he's called us to do. And so we're going to look at this passage in Genesis chapter 12. Throughout my spiritual life, I have come back to this chapter over and over again. I've come back to it for many reasons, but I think also its predominance throughout Scripture shows its importance for what you and I can learn today. The New Testament talks about this over and over again, that by faith, Abraham left a land, and so it was accredited to him as righteousness. So there's lots of things that we're going to see here today, but I have found personal encouragement from what Abraham did. I have found personal strength for obeying God's directive on my life. And so I just want to read to you some of this here in Genesis chapter 12. The Bible said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife, Sarah, and his brother's son, Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. And when they had come to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." Which this becomes a pattern in Abram's life. There is a sense of direction. So he goes, he builds an altar, he establishes something, and then he just keeps going by faith. And so this morning I want to talk to you about calling. calling. You know, there's different meanings of the word call and calling, especially when you're reading the Bible. You'll see throughout, there's definitions that are similar to what we would think. It'll say, so-and-so called to someone, come over here. And there was a sense of speaking to someone. You and I, when we say calling today, it usually means I'm picking up the phone and I'm going to call somebody. But in the Bible, we see this word call. And as we talked last week, this word call is this invitation, in the New Testament, at least in Paul's writing, means an invitation to experience a special privilege and responsibility. It's an invitation. It's a call to be a part of something special. And so what does that mean in the context of Abram? The Lord called to him. Now, we know that throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, this isn't the first time that this has happened, and it certainly is not the last time. There is this sense over and over again that the Lord calls to people to try to get them to jump in and be a part of his plan and purposes on the earth and invites them in for a greater purpose. And so calling is not simply a directive, it's purpose. It's creating for purpose, as we were singing. All of us were made with purpose. Just to recap something we said last week, which is important. Nothing that God makes is a waste. God creates with purpose. God creates with plan in mind. God creates with something special in mind. And the sense of calling is important. And we live in a day and age now where our world needs men and women who will respond to the call of God on their lives. Now, oftentimes we've got confused and we think, well, that means that I have to go pastor, or I have to go preach, or I have to give myself to some staffed position at a church. But that is certainly not the case in the New Testament. And as a matter of fact, our world especially now needs people who have a sense of call in every type of workplace, in every type of field. And while there may be some who have a sense of call that says, I feel God is impressing in my heart that he wants me to preach or to pastor one day or whatever that might be, or to be a missionary, I believe God is also impressing in the hearts of people that I need to be a teacher, I need to go be a police officer, I need to go work in the bank, whatever it might be. There are so many different places, but to have a sense of call means that you live out your place of where God has put you with purpose for the Lord. And so that's what Abram did. Abram went from a place, and just to make sure that we notice what Genesis 12 said here. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Go. Leave everything you know, Abram. Give it all up. This isn't the last time this happens. This happens throughout the New Testament a lot of times. He goes to these people, to these disciples, and he calls them away, and they have to leave their families. They have to leave everything behind and follow Jesus and follow what God is wanting to do in their life. There is this sense that I am going to trust what is God wants to do with my life more than the accommodations that I have been given right now. So he tells them to go and to the land that I will show you. Can we just recognize the fact that Abram has no clue where he's going? He has no idea the place that he's supposed to go. It's one thing to put it in your phone and say, well, I need to get to this destination, and so here's the best route, here's how long it will take, and I know I will arrive at this time. But Abram didn't have that. All he had was a directive, go. Just get up and go. Leave everything you know and go. And this sense of call has been echoing throughout church history for years and years. Men and women who stand up and say, you know, I just feel like God has called me to leave everything that I know here and go somewhere else and live out my life. I don't know anybody there. I don't have anything there, but I want people to know about Jesus. And something special happens. And that's something that Jesus talks about, and he says, talks to the disciples about, that there is a reward for those. You've left everything behind. You've given it up. And there's a reward for those who do such. It's an act of faith. And what really you see this element of calling to be about is this idea that God is pulling me to do something beyond my own desires. So I can either follow what God wants to do with my life, or I can abandon that and do what I want to do with my life. And this is really hard today. This is hard in our culture because we have so much aspirations of what we've been given, especially in America, that we have this idea that I need to accomplish the American dream to be successful. But in the Bible, success is not accomplishing the American dream. Success is faithfulness to the call of the Lord. So if God is calling me to do something, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to say, well, Lord, that's not really, I don't know that I'm cut out for that. That's what Moses tried to do. Well, Lord, I can't really talk to those people. I'm not gifted for that. But you see, to the Lord, excuses are nothing. He finds a way to overcome our excuses. He finds a way to let us see that it's not about what you and I are capable of doing. It's about what God is capable of doing through men and women who yield themselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why calling is so special, because it's this sense that Jeremiah talks about, that his word, it was like a fire shut up in his bones. There was a sense of a burning passion to do what God had called him to do, to live it out. There was this sense of motivation. I must be about my Father's business. I must go and do all that God has called me to do. If that wasn't the case, why do you think people would leave their homes and all these past 100 years of Christianity and go to lands where they're persecuted and beat for the faith if they didn't have that sense of burning passion and fuel by the Holy Spirit? Somebody doesn't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I want to go serve in the Middle East and just be a Christian there. No, people don't do that. They do it because of a sense of call. God spoke to them. God gave them grace to lead them and guide them. So therefore, no matter how bad things are going to get, they're going to live out their sense of calling. Now, we're going to see a couple things here as we begin to get into this thing about call, is that we see throughout Scripture this like twofold idea, that there's a sense of general calling. And that means calling that we've all been invited to do, regardless of who you are and where you are, what all of us have been called to do. And all of us, we know by Scripture, by the New Testament, we've been all called to preach Jesus. Every one of us, tell people about Jesus. Share his love, spread his goodness, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love your neighbor? You love them by giving them Jesus. If it means giving them a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, so be it. Whatever it is, you do it by sharing the love of Jesus. And that is the sense that all of us have, that sense of call. All of us share that. No one is exempt from that. There is no Christian who Jesus said, you know what? You don't have to love your neighbor. It's okay. You just put that aside. Go ahead and live your life however you want. No, that's not what happens. All of us have that sense as the body of Christ to be the hands and feet of Jesus on the earth, to love people, to love our neighbor, to preach Jesus, to take people and walk with them through life until prayerfully they come to believe in Jesus. Are we supposed to save people? No, we're not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. We're the people, we're the messengers. We tell people about Jesus. So that is what we've been called to faithful do. There's a sense of general calling, but as we see here with Abram and others that we're going to look at this morning, there's also a sense of specific calling. What has God called Charlie Scruggs to do? Before I was even born, what did God say? One day I want to do in his life. What is one day God saying in with your name attached to it, the specific thing that God wants to live out through in your life? Now, I want you to kind of lay aside some things that maybe we've been conditioned to think. Calling does not mean career. Calling does not mean the thing that I do that I'm paid to do. You can have a career where you live out some other type of calling. Perhaps you're called to be a prayer warrior. Perhaps God's given you the gift of prayer, and you're not going to make a living by praying. Just be what it is. You're going to pray, but eventually we got to go to work, right? That's just the way our world works. We need an income. But yet you don't abandon what you have been called to do at your career. You live it out faithfully. So there are senses of calling that this idea is, what is the Lord saying to me? What is God saying to me? I want that is to be what burns in you this morning. What is God calling me specifically to do? Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about what God has called them to do and look at them and say, well, they're doing that. They're special. They've got some. No, that's not the way the scripture works. We've got it all wrong if that's what we're thinking. Remember Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. God has arranged the members accordingly. Some are called to be the hands. Some are called to be the toe. But there are none greater members in the body of Christ. We're all in the body of Christ. We're all in what God has called us to do. He has called you specifically to do and to live it out. And that purpose is important. If God has given his breath to speak it, then obviously it's important to the Lord for us to live it out. So let's talk a few things about the elements of a call. We see here in Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abram, go, go. Calling is initiated by the voice of the Lord. Calling is initiated by the voice of the Lord. This is the theme throughout Scripture over and over and over again. Old Testament, New Testament, when a man or woman was called to do something great for the Lord, they did it out of a sense that the Lord has spoken to me. I must therefore act. It is the Lord who initiates calling in us. And I use that word initiation because it's an important word for us to grab a hold. A lot of times there's this thought, it happens a lot of times, especially in Western Christianity, that if I go to a seminary, then that means that that's going to be my call. That if I do it of my own volition and God, it doesn't matter, that's what I want to do. That's not calling, that's what you have initiated, that's what I've initiated. Unless the Lord has said it, then we're going to fail in it. We're going to fail miserably in it. And so there has to be the sense of, what is the voice of the Lord initiating in my life? What is God compelling me to do? What is the love of Jesus pushing me to do? In Matthew, the Bible says Jesus was walking the streets. He sees the disciples, and the Bible says he called them. In Matthew 9 and 9, Jesus was walking along. He saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. Once again, listen, just notice this here, because this needs to get in us. Matthew's career is a tax collector. His calling is a disciple of Jesus. And so he's called Matthew sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. There was a sense, Jesus spoke, so now I must follow. It was initiated by the voice of the Lord. And oftentimes what happens is there's a danger. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is destruction, the Bible teaches us. It's important for us to listen to, what is Jesus saying to me? There is recklessness outside of the will of God. There's danger outside of the will of God. When you're living in the place where it is God's will, the Bible talks about it in Peter. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You're living under the umbrella of God's grace. But the moment you start to say, well, you know what, I'm going to just do what I want to do, you're in a place that's dangerous. You're outside of the will of God. I'm outside of the will of God if that happens. And so it's important that we listen. What is the voice of the Lord saying to me? Now, what you're going to notice if you have read scripture, you understand, is that the Bible is certainly no respecter of persons to whom he calls. He calls, there's instances here, we see a young Samuel called. We see an old Abram called. We see a young David called. We see Esther called. We see Matthew, a tax collector. We see Paul, a murderer of Christians. Jesus is not going around and looking and saying, well, do you have this, this, and this to be qualified to be used by the Lord? This isn't like trying to get into the military. No, that's not what this is about. What the Lord is looking for is, are we listening? Who's listening? Saul was not listening to the voice of the Lord, but who was listening? David was. He was out there with the sheep, but there he was on the pastures with the sheep, and there he had a voice to hear the Lord. The problem with Saul in his life is he stopped listening to the voice of the Lord. And so the call that the Lord initiated in him, he abandoned it. He was reckless in his life. It's important that we are listening. What is God saying to me? What is the voice of the Lord speaking to me? How is the Holy Spirit prompting me in my life? Our role as believers is to discern the voice of God. Make sure you're hearing the voice of God. Not what you think is the voice of God, but this sense that, this is from the Lord. Just a little side note, this is just Charlie's little rule of thumb. You can throw it out if you don't want it. That's fine. When the Lord speaks, there is no question of doubt. Was that really the Lord? When the Lord speaks, you know the Lord spoke. There's a sense of assurance. There's a sense of knowing. There's a sense that I'm not going to be led away from anything that's going to lead me in a tangent away from Scripture. That's not, no. We're going to stay in obedience to Scripture. And so what is the voice of the Lord saying? What are we discerning the voice of the Lord to say? Eli recognized this when Samuel was in the temple and he began to hear someone calling his name, and he thought, who is, Eli must want something. Let me go see what he wants. And this happened over and over again. And finally, Eli recognized, this is calling. Go, Samuel, lay down. When he calls again, say, here I am. There's this sense that they understood and they knew. When the Lord speaks, you make yourself available and say, yes, Lord. Now, this sense of call, this sense of the point of origin of the voice of the Lord is very, very important. When you have a calling in your life, when I have a calling in my life, and I have a sense, I know that God spoke to me and led me to do this. God is leading me to do this. I don't know what it's all going to look like, but I know that the Lord has been calling me to this task, to this role, to whatever it might be, to this ministry, whatever it is. This point of origin is very important, because as life goes on, you're going to have a point to be able to look back to and say, when the enemy comes in and discourages you and me and says, well, why don't you just give up on that thing? Why don't you just throw it down and lay it all aside? Is it really worth all that you're going through? That you can say, no, I know without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord called me to this. And if the Lord called me to this, I'm going to be faithful to what God has called me to do. I'm going to live out all that the Lord has called me to do. And listen, it doesn't matter if you're serving the Lord for 10 years, for 20 years, for 70 years. You need this sense of call, this point of origin, to be able, however long the path gets, however it goes, that you can say, I know the Lord called me. Isn't that what Paul did as he was going along the road? He could go and tell his testimony, but the Lord spoke to me. I know you think who I was before I murdered Christians. Yes, but the Lord called me to this, so therefore I'm going to live out what God has called me to do. This sense is important for a sense of just being able to encourage yourself. Because listen, as we've said the past couple weeks, the Christian life is an uphill battle. It's not easy to be a Christian, especially now. And you're going to need that sense. I'm going to need that sense to say, I know without a doubt, I have to do this. I have to do this. All the great missionaries I can think about, Hudson Taylor, Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, all these others, they had to have that sense, I've been called to this. I've mentioned this before, but I have this piece of art in my office that I came across by accident one day from in a place that I used to work. I used to work in a store, and this was a consignment store, and this lady who I knew, kind of knew of, and I knew who her acquaintances were, and she brought this piece of artwork in one day that we were looking at, and we were going to sell for her, and she said, this came from the Wadani tribe in Brazil. I knew that name. She said, this was the tribe that Jim Elliot and Nate Saint, they got on their yellow bumblebee airplane and flew over every day to try to make contact, to tell them about Jesus. And this is a piece of artwork they've done recently from a missionary who had been there with them. And I said, I'll buy that right now. I want that. And I bought it because I want the reminder that calling is worth it. It's worth it. If you're not familiar with their story, Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, they made contact with this tribe. They dropped food over with their yellow airplane, which is in a museum somewhere in California. And day after day, and finally one day, they were able to land their plane on the riverbanks there to get out and tell them they were coming with no harm, no bad intentions, but that they might know the love of Jesus. And as they departed from the plane, the tribe came out and killed all four of them right there, while their wives were back at the camp and later found out about this. But I've often thought about their story in this sense of being able to know I've been called. Because it's one thing when you know, yes, the Lord has called me and life is easy. But it's another thing when you're disembarking from a plane and someone's holding a spear at you. And you're looking at the end of the spear and you have a sense of knowing I'm about over. I can pull out my weapon, or I can say, no, the Lord has called us to love them to Jesus. And that's exactly what they did. And the matter of fact, the Jim Elliott's wife, Elizabeth Elliott, was the one who went back and continued to make contact and win those precious people to the Lord. And the man who killed Nate Saint, his son, Steve Saint, became good friends with the man who killed his father. And traveled all over the world preaching Jesus. That's calling. That's calling. That's a sense that I've been called to something that's important. That I know this is a special privilege what I get to do. And I have to be able to have that sense that I can look back and say, I know the Lord has called me to this. So we're going to see the second thing that here that Abram did. The Bible says in verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord told him. Calling is initiated by the voice of the Lord. And secondly, calling is lived out by faith in God. And I know that's a simple statement, but I think it's the simplicity of that that is often overlooked, that Abram went. He did not know where he was going. He just went. He just left. He left everything he knew. He left all the accommodations that he knew of. He left all the things that behind him. He just went. Just go. Okay, Lord, you say, I'm going to do it. That God honored Abram's faith in this. God knew that he had a plan for Abram's life, but Abram didn't know that all quite well. But yet he had to go. He had to be obedient and just give it up and go. It's worth it, but it requires faith. Calling is not about trying to understand what the full picture of the years up ahead of my life are intended to look like. Calling is about saying yes to the Lord every day in that calling. Every day I'm going to walk with Jesus. I don't know how that's going to look in 10 years from now. I don't know what it's going to look like in 20 years from now. But I know I'm living out my call. I'm just going to trust in Jesus. I'm just going to believe him. That's what the Lord's looking for. And that's why God honored Abram. God blessed Abram because of that, because of his faith in him, being able to leave everything behind and trust him. And I just want to encourage you today, when you're thinking about calling and whatever God's speaking to in your life, don't let the accommodations of your life become a distraction to what the Lord is inviting you to do. That happened to a man in the Bible, right? He came to Jesus. He was a rich man, and he said, well, I've obeyed all these commandments, so what else do I have to do, Lord? He said, go sell your possessions. Give it all away. He left with his head down, the Bible said. He couldn't do it. He was more attached to what he had than what the Lord had for him. And he missed out on what God was inviting him to do. The calling is living out by faith in God. I'm just going to trust him. I'm just going to believe in him. I think about the Apostle John. John was the only disciple who did not run away when Jesus was arrested, but kept following him. And even showed up at the foot of the cross, which for John, that was a brave thing to do. He could have been arrested right there. He could have been put on the cross right beside Jesus because of that, because he was a follower, but he just kept following. Why? Because there's a sense of call. There's a sense that I know God spoke to me. I must fall. I must follow him. Jesus spoke to me. If it causes me my life, I'm going to do it. It's worth it for him. I'm trusting in Jesus. And lastly, as the musicians come, the Bible says about Abram, he says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. That you will be a blessing. Calling is intended to be a blessing to others. And I say that in great humility and honor. Calling is intended to be a blessing to others. Calling is not about promoting me to have some type of title or status that people look at me in a certain way and think of me great. That is the farthest thing from calling. That is not what the Bible is talking about when calling. Calling is this sense, I've been called to be a blessing to others. John said it this way in John 15:16, or Jesus said it this way rather. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. Jesus is not talking about bananas. He's not talking about apples. He's not talking about pears and grapes. He's talking about spiritual fruit. That's the only fruit that will last. I've never had a banana that lasted more than 7 days. Not once. No, Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was talking about fruit that will last. What do you do with fruit? It's meant to share. If we're called to go forth and produce fruit, yes, it's intended to bless me, but I can't eat it all. It's intended to be a blessing to be others. We're called to be bearers of life. And that life is the light of all creation, the light of all men. And to show that light unto the world, whatever the calling may be, whatever your specific calling may be, can we just come to the conclusion? I've been called to live out that purpose in such a way to be a blessing to someone. Maybe you're called to be a blessing to one per person. To Jesus, that's just as important as the person who's called to be a blessing to 1,000. Don't try to measure your calling. Don't try to size it up and say, well, I'm only called to do this. No, don't do that. I think about my grandmother, faithful woman to the Lord. And you know, she never got behind podiums. She never stood up and gave sermons. She never was even rarely seen in public spotlight. But she had a calling. And her calling was, I'm going to attend to my family in such a way that they know Jesus. And she did it well until the very end. And you know, many times I didn't recognize it in the moment, but as I've stood back and looked at her life, I thought, I know she had that sense. That's why she was so driven and given to it. That's why she said, I'm going to make it a point to be in prayer. I'm going to give myself to this. Calling is not measurable. You can't measure it out and say, this is what it's going to look like in 10 years and 5 years. Here's how many people. Here's my plan. Here's my vision. That's ridiculous to the Lord. That's trying to size up something that is greater than our little minds can wrap it around. What does it mean to the Lord to win one person to the Lord? Who that person has a sphere of influence that will ripple to many others. To the Lord, you can't measure that. You can't size that out and say, I don't know what this person will do. God's called me to minister to them. And one day they're in the grocery store and they talk to somebody. They come to know Jesus. And that person wins many people for the Lord. To the Lord, we can't measure it out. Don't try to measure it out. Don't try to size it up to the Lord. It's intended, whatever it is, whatever we've called to do, just be a blessing. Just as freely you have received, Jesus said, so freely give it away. Give it away. Give all that God is pouring in you, keep pouring it out, because the fountain never runs dry. You can keep coming back and there's still life for tomorrow. There's still enjoyment. There's still peace and joy and love that is called to fill us. Calling is not about promotion. It's about faithfulness to Jesus. It's not about trying to have some type of status in this world. No. As a matter of fact, the Lord speaks opposite. Those whom we hardly ever see, those whom we don't even know, they're hiding all that they're doing. No, the Lord, that's faithfulness to the Lord. It's about producing life. And all that God has called us to do, all that God called Abram to do, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. God wants to make you a blessing. God wants you to leave this earth being a blessing, handing fruit out. Life, spiritual life, blessing others, loving others, doing all that God has called you to do. Just go and do it. Just be a blessing. Will you stand with me this morning? Would you just pause with me here? Close your eyes. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What's He saying to me? What's He calling us to do? Young person, what's God calling you to do? I know futures are daunting. It's overwhelming. But to the Lord, it's all in His hand. Just live it out with Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. You think, well, what God's calling me to do, I'm not going to be able to make a living. Listen, just trust Jesus. If He's calling you to, don't you think He'll provide for you? Don't you think He'll make a way? It's about following Him. When He says go, you say, yes, Lord, I go, I'm going, I'm out. Whatever you say, Lord, I'll be able to give you my yes. I'll be able to give you, I will say, I will do, I will go wherever you call me to do, go. Maybe you're living your life and you're thinking to me this morning, well, I don't even know what I'm doing with my life. There's no sense of purpose. Well, I want to encourage you. Go find a place of prayer. Maybe here at the front this morning. Maybe it's when you get home later tonight. You're sitting on your bed and say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Here I am. The best response you and I could ever give the Lord. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. If the Lord is speaking to you this morning, pulling on the strings of your heart, would you come this morning, just stand at the front, kneel, however you feel led. We want to pray for you today. We're not a church that's intended to just gain people and keep people. No, we're called to send. Be a sending church. Be a place where God, people are called and they're sent out with purpose to live this in this community, maybe in other parts of the world with purpose. So Lord, this morning, as you have so graciously done over the many years that we have known the name Jesus, would you call today, Lord? Would you make it clear? Would you make it plain to us, Lord? Lord, would you help us to have a sense that I know, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. Your servant is listening. I'm available to you, Lord. Oh, what our world needs, willing vessels, willing vessels. God, make us a willing people. If we're trying to hold back our lives, Lord, we're trying to withhold what you're trying to call us to. Oh, God, help us to walk away from that and to freely give ourselves. Lord, help us this morning. Help us to surrender. Help us, Lord. Lord, there's so many people that need to know the name Jesus. Help us all to live out that sense of calling to preach Jesus. All of us here today, Lord, give us opportunities of life and purpose to share your love, Lord. Lord, open doors for us even this week that we could make the name of Jesus known, Lord. Lord, we must work while it is day, for night is coming when no man can work. Lord, help us to be about our Father's business. Help us, Lord Jesus, to just say yes to you, Lord, to go, to do, to live out what you've called us to do. Lord, for every young person here this morning, for every person that's standing at a crossroads and they're thinking, what's next, Lord? What's next? God, I pray that calling you would speak, Lord. Guide them. Guide them, Lord. Give them an ear to hear the Spirit, Lord. Open up their ear, Lord, to understand how you would instruct them, Lord. And Lord, give us enough faith to be willing to do whatever you call us to do, Lord. We thank you this morning, Lord. Speak, Jesus. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord Jesus.